Johnson. Oh, going for the championship, that ain't coming close. This might require taking notes, homie, listen close. Serendipity when you know, you the one who chose. We going past the end zone, crushing every goal. I feel it in my enzymes, in my chromosomes. If you ain't come outside to go hard, then go back home. I'm in my zone, if it ain't greatest, I'm better left alone. This for the world, put what we speaking on speakerphone. Yeah, Wills, let them know what we be on. Serendipity, man, tune in.
Going on, good people. Welcome to another episode of Serendipity. I'm Inky Johnson here with my brother.
I'm Oak. What's happening, good people?
How you doing, Oak? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, if I do any better, I had to go to heaven, I promise you.
Yes, indeed.
In this moment, you know,
yes,
everything
indeed.
Is everything. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's springtime and just learning lessons.
Mm.
Just getting lessons, you know. I started the year out with this whole notion of I want to be connected. I want everything I do to be connected.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that, you know, I didn't want to move in ISOs. And so the universe is just giving me what I asked for.
Right on.
In a lot of different areas, you know what I'm saying? So I feel good about that. I feel good about learning that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good about being able to connect people.
Right on.
Because, you know, you have something going on and he has something going on. And I'm like, oh, that might can work.
Right.
And then connecting those people together, that's what brings me probably the most joy.
Yeah.
You know, and just we're 4 months in and it's looking pretty good.
That's dope, man. I really do believe like the things that, you know, reside on our spirit, our mentality, you know, we can attract and manifest. Like, I really do believe in that. Like, in terms of the things that we put out, like, we often talk about the law of reciprocity. But I really do believe, like, the spirit that we walk in, the thoughts that we have, the things that we seek to accomplish, if the actions are in alignment, I feel as if we can attract and manifest those things, man, and make them happen and take shape and turn them into reality. So, yeah, I'm picking that up. I'm with you on that.
And this is what I think we fail to realize,
mm-hmm.
right? We are really the most powerful entities on God's earth,
mm-hmm.
right? And what I mean by that is our ability to conjure up spirit, our ability to conjure up those emotions, those thoughts, those feelings in such a way that they come to fruition.
Yes, sir.
That they begin to manifest.
Definitely.
Like, it's like the power of Nomo. You speak it into existence. It comes into existence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those thoughts that we have, they come into existence.
Yeah.
So what we have to be mindful of is not having the negative thoughts.
Mm.
We have to fight not having the woe is me thoughts.
Yeah.
We have to fight not having the gossip thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about everything that I take in and I think about, it shall manifest.
Yes, indeed.
So you have the power. You have the power to direct your own ship of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Picking that up. And I wanna piggyback on what you just said too. Like being intentional with training your thoughts, with training your language, with training your perspective. Like being intentional with it, right? When a situation happens or doesn't happen the way you want it to. Like training your perspective to look at it in a certain manner. When you get around certain people, training your language, how you speak about people, how you speak about situations, right? Training your attitude, like being intentional, right? Because it's not like we're going to walk into the gym and just become strong. You got to train, right? You got to train certain muscle groups.
Yep.
You got to eat a certain way, right? Things don't just happen. And so being intentional with the things that you want to happen, with the person that you seek to become, just being intentional and being cognizant about the things that make those things happen.
And I give you an example, right? You know, Dejan, Young Thundercat.
Young Dejan.
Little Al Green, you know. That,
Little Al
Green. The album cover way. Al Green got an afro. But anyway, they call him Little Al Green. But so when we are around him,
mm-hmm.
we're cognizant not to curse.
Yeah.
We're cognizant to speak in complete sentences.
Mm-hmm.
We're cognizant to use our words.
Right on.
Because, and we're conscious of that. We're very deliberate in that.
Absolutely.
Because that is what is going to, is what he's taking in.
Mm.
Right? Just like how we taking in what you just said, being cognizant of everything that you do, your language and what you say, what you partake in, like whatever food you eat, what the things in social media that you know, changing the algorithm, all of that, being cognizant of it. That's how you train your mind, you train your soul, you train in your spirit to become the best of who you're supposed to be.
I'm picking that up. I'm with you on that. Man, we're going to jump into this quote card.
Yes, sir.
Like we usually do. And it reads, peace starts with suffering. Freedom starts with confinement. Courage starts with fear. Strength starts with surrender. Every mountain starts from beneath the earth. And you too shall rise. Mm. Peace starts with suffering. Freedom starts with confinement. Courage starts with fear.
I guess what I hear, of course, initially the overarching narrative here is you got to take a L. You got to go through something.
Talk about it.
You know, in order to get something. You got to go through something in order to get something.
Talk about
right?
it.
So, as it says, peace starts with suffering. That's why Black people are so and have the opportunity to seek peace because we've suffered in America.
Mm.
Freedom starts with confinement. Notice Malcolm didn't gain his freedom until he got confined.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X had to be confined in order to find and gather his freedom, right? We can go with courage starts with fear.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. King did not want to have anything to do with Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
but he was called.
Yeah.
Not saying he was fearful in terms of like being scared,
right?
But fear in terms of this is not what that's not my plan,
right?
But because he was able to overcome his own thoughts of this is not my plan, but it's God's plan.
Mm.
Now you go into Birmingham and lead the bus boycott.
Yes, indeed.
Oh.
Yes, indeed.
It's, I think it was Birmingham. Yeah.
Yeah, Birmingham bus
boycott. Strength starts with surrender. The only way you can become strong is when you go in the gym and work out and break these muscles all the way down. They have to surrender.
Yes, indeed.
And then they start to build back up. And when they build back up stronger than when you started.
Mm. Talk about
I can go through every one of them. But
talk about
the gist of it is you got to go back in order to go forward.
Mm.
You got to remember from whence you came so that you can be propelled to where you're going.
Yes, indeed.
So we can talk about it from several different areas, but essentially that's what it is. You got to give up something to get something.
Yes, sir.
You got to surrender something so that you can get something greater.
Mm.
That's the promise.
Yeah, man.
That's the promise of life.
Yes, indeed.
If you don't surrender what you have, then you won't get anything that's greater than what you already have.
Mm.
Right?
Picking that up.
You must surrender. So you, in order to obtain peace, you got to go through the valley.
Yes, indeed.
You got to out there walk in the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm.
And then that's where you begin to fear no evil.
Mm.
So when you come out and face all the evils of the world, you have no fear.
Yes, indeed.
Because you've been in the valley.
Yes, indeed.
Mm. David fought off all the wolves to protect the sheep.
Yeah, man.
At night.
Mm.
So when he went up against Goliath, this is easy work.
Easy work. Trained to go. Battle tested.
Yes. Yes.
Battle tested.
We see it all the time. We see it all the time. Like, you know, like in sports.
Yeah.
Team go and they beat everybody, everybody. That's why what UConn did was so miraculous. That's why
phenomenal.
What South Carolina did was so miraculous, right? Because, but they were battle tested though.
No question.
I think UConn lost 5 games.
Yeah.
South Carolina was about to lose Tennessee.
Tennessee went down to the wire. Yeah.
Right? So they were battle tested. Now when it comes time for the moment of truth, you're about to win a chip.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to go through those battles. You have to be battle tested in order to win the battle.
I love it, man. I love it because the thing that it makes me think about is interconnection, right? When you hear peace starts with suffering, freedom starts with confinement, courage starts with fear, strength starts with surrender. Every mountain starts from beneath the earth, and you too shall rise. It makes me just think about interconnection, how everything we go through in life is interconnected, right? To a certain extent and on a certain level. Right. I'll never forget, man, thinking about like starting speaking, right? Looking for my purpose. And the thing that propelled me, Oak, was I'll never forget reading in the good book when it said, obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I thought to myself, how am I wired, right? For most people, you judge the level of sacrifice without first being obedient. Right. If you want to be obedient to something you feel you're being called to do, most people are going to go back and judge the level of sacrifice. What do I got to give up? Mm-hmm. Right. What is it going to cost me? Right. How much time? How much money? Like, what do I have to do? Right. Instead of just being obedient to what you feel the call is. Right. Because obedience takes you past pain, takes you past adversity, opposition, challenges. It's interconnected because you're working towards something. Right. The interconnection of purpose. And so when I see it say strength starts with surrendering, like there's a peace that's found in surrendering. Right. There's a peace. Right. It says a peace that surpasses all understanding. Like when you just surrender, you say, all right, man, not my will, but thy will. When you surrender. Right. There's something that's a lot greater than you. There's a peace that comes along with that. But it says strength starts with surrendering. And so you can see a person and say, man, that person is so strong. Man, that person got a level of mental fortitude, right? And skip right past when that person had to surrender. I'm talking about when chaos broke out. I'm talking about when all hell broke loose and they didn't have no grips on their life. They didn't have no grips on their situation. And they had to say, man, you know what? Not my will, but thy will. I surrender. And through surrendering, it brought a certain level of peace and strength on the other side of that. The interconnection, man. And so the next time you go through something or the next time you face something or find yourself in the midst of it, just think to yourself, man, what's on the other side of this? If I can survive long enough to get to the other side of this, what's on the other side of it? Right? If I can just survive long enough to get to the other, what's on the other side of it? Like, what version of myself will I be? What's on the other side of it? If you can just survive, just outlast it.
Yep.
Right? Sometimes you just got to outlast it. Right? Outlast adversity, opposition, the pain. Like, just outlast the interconnection. What's on the other side of it? Right? It's all interconnected, man.
Yep.
It's all interconnected.
As the words say, you know, we may be weary for the night. Go through the storm, but what happened?
What come in the morning?
Right.
Tell them what come in the morning. Oh.
Joy. Peace.
Joy.
Come in the morning.
Peace come in the morning.
Yes. Yes. And I want to say this.
Yeah.
We might go off a little course a little bit, but that's the last time we sat here and talked, we talked about, towards the end, we talked about J. Cole and the apology. So, you know, I said my spiel.
Right.
And it's almost like the universe said, do you believe what you just said? Because it might have been, it was Tuesday night.
Right.
I was talking to my uncle. And we had a conversation, very intense conversation. My uncle is like my father, especially, you know, after my pop's transition.
Right.
So we were talking, you know, both of us were passionate about the subject we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a statement and it rubbed my uncle slash pop the wrong way to the point where he was like, man, I'm finna get off the phone with you right now. And got out the phone. Like, I was all the way out of bounds. I didn't say you know, anything derogatory. I didn't curse or nothing like that. I wasn't disrespectful in that sense.
Yeah.
But it was almost like I questioned his passion for the thing we were talking about.
Mm.
And I promise you, for about 6 minutes, and I thought about it, for about 6 minutes, I called him back. And I said, Unc, I'm sorry.
Mm.
I apologize. I did not mean to hurt your feelings.
Mm.
Not even hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to question your passion for what we were talking about.
Yeah.
I was out of order.
Right on.
And I could not sleep or go on. I wasn't upset.
Right on.
But I could not go on, being a hypocrite.
Mm. Yeah.
For the way in which I celebrated J. Cole, and I was in a situation where I knew I had fallen short. I wasn't my best self.
Mm.
To the one man that out of all men walking the earth right now, that's walking the earth right now, that has my back.
Mm-hmm. No question.
I had to call. And,
no question.
And this the other part. When I said, Uncle, I apologize, he said, I apologize too. He said, I'm sorry too. Nephew.
Mm. Mm.
He didn't say anything about what we talked about. He validated our relationship. So I had to surrender my pride.
Mm.
And the strength of our relationship grew stronger.
Yes, indeed.
So when we say strength starts with surrendering.
Yes, indeed.
When I surrendered my pride in that moment, it strengthened the relationship I have with my Uncle Anthony.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love it. I love it. I encountered a situation last week just with my children, man. Like, I spend a lot of time with my children just naturally because my schedule is super intense. And so I don't do a lot of extracurricular outside of being with my family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it'll be with my wife or my children or my mom, my sister, or us with the pod or whatever. But other than that, I really don't do much extracurricular because my career keeps me really busy. And so I was with my son, my mom, and I got on my son about his approach to something, right? And my mom, man, like, my mom tough as nails, man. You know my mom. Yeah. My mom ain't budging. Like,
shout
she laugh it
Ruby.
Off,
shout
you know what I'm saying? Like,
Ruby.
She ain't, my mom ain't fazed by Nathan. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm getting on him. I'm talking to him about approach, this, that, and the third. And this is the first time this ever happened. And my mom has been around me before when I've challenged my son or my daughter numerous times. She'd be with me almost every time. But this is the first time this has ever happened. She hit me up that night and she said, Ink, you make sure you apologize to that boy tonight and you tell him you love him. She said, you was out of pocket. She said, you make sure that. And I done been around my mom a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she ain't never said nothing like that, right? Yeah. And it wasn't like it was nothing crazy, you know what I'm saying? But when she sent it to me, all I sent her back was, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after that, I had to locate my ego.
Yes, sir.
As a man, as a father, as a husband, I had to locate my ego, right?
And as a son.
And as a son. You know what I'm saying? In terms of the principles and the things that I say I stand on as a man. Called him into my closet, small talk, apologized to him, told him I love him, hugged him, rubbed his head, asked him did he understand, let him share his heart, his thoughts. Boom. Dapped it up. He cracked the joke. We kept it pushing. But in that moment, I felt something spiritually between me and my son, right, that I hadn't felt before. But the feeling that my mom knew to hit me and say that was spiritual.
Yeah, that's elders right? being elders.
You feel me? And so as a man, I grew in that moment from a moment when I was less than my best, right? The interconnection. And so I feel like we have to be open, man. I told you I was in New York earlier this week and I said, man, one of the things my dog Oak shared with me, man, that was so powerful. I said, because sometimes when we're high achievers or just people that are resilient, people that like chase that dragon, go after it, sometimes, man, you can get to a point to where if you don't accomplish or don't get things done in a manner of what you seek to get them done, you could just be let down, right? You feel like you let yourself down, people down, and it can be tough and you can be hard on yourself. I said, one of the most freeing things I ever got told was sometimes you're going to be less than your best, and that's okay too, right? Give yourself some grace.
Yep.
Man, a lady came up to me after that, man, and hugged me, man. And Oak, I kid you not, man, cried on my shoulder for about 3 minutes. 3 minutes, bro.
Yeah.
And said, your presentation was phenomenal. But what you said at the end, she said, I needed that in more ways than you will ever imagine. Right? And when you think about people, man, like, just the fact of telling somebody, man, give yourself some grace. Sometimes you're going to be less than your best. That's okay, too. Right? Your best looks different every single day, depending upon what you're facing. Nobody says that.
Yeah.
Bring me your best.
Right.
You ain't got your best. Like, nah, man. Like, bring me your best in that moment.
Right. I believe that everybody is given their perceived best at every moment.
Mm. Their perceived best.
At every moment.
Talk about it.
Because situation and circumstance happens, right?
Right on.
And you're going to be yesterday. You know, you know what, man? I'm not going to give my best today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's your perceived best.
Mm.
That's your perceived best.
Mm.
Yet what I'm saying is you don't sit in it. You don't wallow in it. You don't think. See, if you think that that is your best, that's right. When you got a problem.
Right.
But when you understand that you were walking in your perceived best in that moment, then tomorrow, okay, and after you reflect, you know what? That wasn't my best. I can give more than that.
Yeah.
Then you go and give more than that.
Right on.
And then you go give more than that. Meaning, so we get out of this comparison. We get out of this judgment cycle.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to, it is what it is. Now, can I get better from it?
Mm.
Yes or no? And more times than not, the answer is yes. You can get better from your best.
Mm.
That's why your better is always better than your best.
Absolutely. Pick that up. Pick right? that up. Pick
so
that up.
Let's get out of this notion of holding ourselves to this quote-unquote fallacy of a standard.
Mm.
The standard is giving.
Mm.
The standard is putting your feet on the floor every day.
Yeah.
The standard is showing up.
Yeah.
Every single day, show up.
Yeah.
And then as you show up every day, you're going to keep getting better. And as you show up every day, the energy from the room, the energy from your people, the energy from your community, the energy from the universe is going to increase what your best looks like.
Yes, indeed.
The only way it cannot increase, the only way you can't get better is if you don't show up.
Yeah. Pick that up. Pick that up.
So what she was crying about was she had beat herself up and had taken and received from the outside world and outside stimuli of that she wasn't worthy.
Mm. There it is. There it is.
And it had become callous.
There it is.
And you were able to, just by that notion, just by saying, give yourself mercy,
mm.
you were able to eradicate
yeah.
that callousness of judgment of herself.
No doubt.
No and it doubt. Was freeing.
No doubt, man.
It was freeing for her. It was freeing for you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Man.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. I got one for you, Oak, man. It reads, excitement comes from achievement. Fulfillment comes from the journey that got you there. Excitement comes from achievement. Fulfillment comes from the journey that got you there.
And
yes,
you,
indeed.
You ever wanted something so bad? Let's say it was a toy for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it was the win of a ball game. Whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And you get it. You get the toy. you get the victory, you get the championship.
Yeah.
And you are what? Excited.
Right.
Nick Saban, them, Kirby Smart, them talk about it all the time. You win the championship on Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're back on the recruiting trail.
Yep.
That excitement is so fleeting that it's not even worth it.
Mm.
The journey is the fulfillment. That is what feeds you. That is what sustains you. That's what invigorates you. The fulfillment of doing something, not the excitement of achieving something.
Yeah, man. Pick it up. Pick it up.
The fulfillment is in doing something.
Pick it up.
The excitement is in achieving something.
Mm.
So your achievements are fleeting.
Yeah, man.
You're doing the work that you're putting in, the sacrifices that you make, the hard days, the easy days, the laughter, the crying, all of the ingredients that goes into the process of making the cake. That's the fulfillment.
Absolutely.
Not when the cake is done.
Right.
Because how long the cake lasts? We eat it up. We're going to eat it up that day.
Out
it's
of
gone.
Here. Out of here.
But what you keep is the way in which, and in times where I remember my mom and Auntie Corrine, you know, every Saturday night, every other Saturday night, they'll sit around and they'll have their drink of choice.
Right on. Right on.
And they'll bake pies and make cakes. Yeah. You know, I'm going to lick the pan and all
kicking
that.
Kicking it. You trying to get all of it.
Trying to get all of it, right? But the time while the cake was baking and them sitting on the porch and the laughter, boy, you know, I never heard two black women.
About?
And my auntie would come over, Auntie Ann would come to sit on the porch and the laughter, the joy just for that night was, I still can hear it in my ears.
Man.
That's the fulfillment, not the cake. Nobody care about that cake anime.
Eat the cake anime.
No, man. We ain't about the cake. It's about the process of making the cake and the joy that they had when they were talking to each other, when they were just on the porch and just being free. It was around the cake. So that's what I'm saying about, you know, the fulfillment is in making the cake. The achievement is that the cake tastes good.
Right on. Right on. Pick that up, man.
But that laughter?
Yes, sir.
It still rings in my ear. And when I'm down sometimes, I'm like right now, you know, as we're taping, this will be around the time they getting started. They be getting started on Saturday night, getting it in.
Getting it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about 10:30, you know, they'll be full of whatever they've done, been partaking in and just really enjoying themselves.
Yeah, man. Excitement comes from achievement. Fulfillment comes from the journey that got you there. The people, the moments, the work, the sacrifice, the dedication, the commitment, the hard times, the great times, all that it encompasses. That's the fulfillment, the journey, right? And oftentimes, when we get to the top of the mountain or when we get to the end of a destination or when we get to the end result, we forget about the journey. That's why I always say to people, oh, what's more important, what you acquire or who you become? What you acquire, that's achievement. Who you become, that's fulfillment, right?
Yes,
but
sir.
The journey produces that.
Yes, sir.
The journey shapes that. The journey molds that. The people that you meet along the way, they shape, they mold that. The things that you encounter along the way, they shape and they mold that, right? When you think back to the most valuable things in your life, the most valuable possessions in your life, it's not a Rolex. It ain't a pair of Nikes. It ain't a car, right? Even though all of those things are dope in their own right, all of them are dope. But I guarantee you, when you think back to the most valuable possessions in your life, it will be people. Like he just spoke about, grandma, auntie. Man, I would give anything in the world to sit on the edge of that porch with my grandma and my granddad. My granddad sitting in that wheelchair with no legs. My grandma sitting right there, got that cane, and saying, Anki, what you do to him last night, Anki?
Anki.
He didn't say Anki. Anki, what you do to him in that game last night, Anki? Right?
Yeah.
That's the fulfillment. Those are the things that you remember. right? I love when Kobe said, that's the work. When they was talking to him about getting up in the morning, going to the gym, putting your shots up. Like, that's the journey. That's the work. That's the fulfillment. But that's where most people break. That's where most people stop. Mm-hmm. That's where most people retreat. Because they get blinded by the opposition. They get blinded by the pain. They get blinded by the sacrifice. They get blinded by the journey. And the journey is the most fulfilling part. That when you accomplish whatever you accomplish, you look back and you say, man, you remember we were about to stop?
Yep.
Look at us now. Man, you remember we were about to quit? You remember we was about to throw it away because of that? That's the most fulfilling part. When they look back in the marriage and say, man, you remember when we was fighting each other instead of fighting the problem? Right? When they look back with their children, man, you remember I was about to walk out because of this? Now the man that I am, that's the journey. Appreciate that. That's the fulfillment, not the achievement. Right? That's cool. That's great. That's beautiful. That's cute. Cool. But the fulfillment will always be in the journey. Don't let the journey play you out of position, man. The journey is where it's
let
at.
The journey play you out of position.
Man. Because most cats, oh, they play themselves out of position because of something that happens along the journey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? You there. You going in the right direction. But something happens along the journey and you play yourself out of position. When all you got to do is keep stepping. Yeah. All you got to do is keep marching. All you got to do is keep pressing. You get tired, like tag team, man. Let me tap my dog in. You got me. I need to chill for a second.
Right.
Carry us the next 2 miles. We ain't going to abort the mission and go all the way back. Nah, we going to keep pressing because the fulfillment is in the journey. Along my journey, my people.
That reminds me of, like, I think the great Brene Brown was talking where her and her husband, and they come in and they say, what you got today?
What you got today?
How much you got today? He may say, I got 80. I got 80% on it. And she may say, well, I got 20. So he takes it.
Right.
Meaning in terms of emotional, in terms of the conversation, in terms of whatever the chores are, blah, 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 whatever needs to be done in their household. She comes in she may say, you know, I got 90 today. He say, okay, I got 40, whatever. She takes it.
Mm.
She come in and say, I ain't got but 10. He say, I got 5.
Yeah.
So we just gonna sit our head down today. We're gonna sit down. You know what I'm saying? Because if we don't, what we're gonna start doing is arguing and going at each other rather than dealing with the problem.
Right on. Right on.
So at first, you know, we check in. Like you said, if you tag me, I got you.
No
but
question.
If you tag me and I ain't got it, then okay, we sit down.
No question.
We stop.
Absolutely.
And we pick it up tomorrow and continue the journey.
That's a fact.
As opposed to, hey, you tagging me, I ain't got nothing. And then now, that's how we get, that's how we start to play ourselves out of position.
Mm. Yeah, I'm picking that up, bro.
You know what I'm saying? So if I got it, let's go. If you got it, let's go. If we both got it, shoot, we're going to go a little faster. But if neither one of us have it, it's okay to sit down.
That's real. That's real there, Doc. That's real.
And we'll pick it back up tomorrow.
That's real. I got this wrote down in my pad, just thinking about what you just said. It said, true strength is the courage to admit weakness.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
True strength is the courage to admit weakness, right? And the word that I'm using in this, you know, situation is weakness, but, like, I love it. I ain't got it, bro.
Gip ain't got it.
I ain't got the juice. I ain't got the juice.
Big Gip from Good and Mild. Shout out. But in this, you know, one of the songs, you know, they was talking, he said, man, Gip ain't got it. I ain't got it.
That's real, man. That's freeing.
Yeah.
That's freeing.
It's freeing. I ain't got it. But if I have it, trust and believe, you got it too.
If I got it,
you got it.
No question.
But I got enough strength to admit when I don't have it.
Yeah, that's real.
That doesn't make me weak. That makes me stronger.
Believe that. That's a fact. Pick that up.
Yeah, for sure.
What comes to mind, Oak, when you hear don't complain, contribute?
Man, be a part of the solution.
Don't complain, contribute.
Be a part of the problem, be a part of the solution, not the problem.
Right?
Don't complain, contribute.
Mm.
If you ain't got nothing good to say, I go back to what the old folks say. If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all, right?
Right on.
if you don't say nothing, that's contributing to the situation. Mm. If you got something negative to say, if you always got you negative Nancy, or negative whatever, then you're part of the problem.
Mm. Yeah, man.
That complaining part makes the people who are trying to pull the wagon, you adding more weight to the wagon.
Mm.
So in real life situations, at your job, with your family, mm-hmm. with your friends and your community, you look to see where can you contribute?
Yeah, man.
What piece can you play?
Talk about it.
We know, or you can see where it's messed up or it's wrong or it's not productive. You can see that part. We see mm-hmm. that.
Talk about
how can you contribute to the solution? That's where your mind has to go so that now you show and teach other people. Because remember, people are always watching you.
Yes, indeed.
So you give people permission to be positive. You give people permission to be negative.
Pick that up.
Right?
Pick that up.
So you want to make sure that at every turn, you're giving people permission to be positive, permission to be productive, permission to be contributors to their society, to their circle, to their environment.
Got you, Doc.
So now if you get a group of people who are about the business of being contributors rather than complainers, then there's no problem that you can't solve.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That means everybody is pulling in one direction.
Mm.
It only takes one person to pull in the opposite direction. Not that one person pulling in the opposite direction that is going to turn it around. But when you start to pull in the opposite direction, right?
Right on.
Then somebody else who may be wavering.
Mm, there it is.
Then they gon' do you giving them permission to pull in the opposite direction.
There it is.
When somebody else may not have the full courage to go in the direction that we're going, you giving them the courage to go in the opposite direction.
There it is.
So your actions is like dropping the rock into the water.
Mm.
It has rippling effects.
Yeah.
Not just you, but other people now going to start pulling in the opposite direction. Then they become complainers.
Mm.
And the moment you start complaining is the moment you start sitting down and not contributing.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
Now you're not part of the journey. Now you in the stands talking about the folks that's in the arena.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Right? Everybody got to be in the arena. Everybody got to get their face dirty.
Mm.
Everybody got to get their hands bloody.
I'm picking that up.
Those are the contributors.
Mm.
The people who are complaining, y'all, man, get away from me, man.
Y'all just talking.
Get away. And that talking, and you know how much strength it has? Like, I have to double my strength to overcome your complaining.
Right.
to contribute to the agenda of what we got going on.
I got to double my strength to overcome this.
Because I
got to
deal with your BS.
This mess, man.
Yes, you are.
Get out of here. What you call it? What's that word you be saying? Yeah. Damn, what's that word you be saying? I can't think of it. Man, don't complain, contribute. Yeah. Are you adding or subtracting?
Right.
When it's all said and done, will you have said more than you've done? I'm going to say it again. When it's all said and done, will you have said more than you've done? Don't complain, contribute, right? When you contribute to something, you're adding to. The easiest thing in the world to do is complain.
Yep.
Anybody can do that. You can find something to complain about with every situation, with every person, the same way they can find something to complain about with you, right?
Yep.
Train yourself to think different. Right? Train yourself to speak. Language is one of the most powerful things that we possess as people. The way we speak about people, the way we speak about situations, the way we speak about circumstances, the way we speak about the things that we encounter. Don't complain. Contribute. Right? Add to. Right? Sometimes it don't cost a thing just to add a little positive flair to a situation or to a person, to wish a person well. Don't cost a thing. Contribute. Don't complain. You see somebody struggling. Don't complain. Contribute. Blessings on your journey, man. I wish you well. Contribute, right? It don't always cost a lot, right? To be kind, to be nice, to add to. It don't cost a lot. But somewhere in the back of our minds, when we start complaining, like we just feel as if we're doing something to a situation. When really we just making it a lot worse. But I will say this, you're making yourself look like a certain type of person. Mm-hmm. That sooner than later, people are not going to want to be around you.
Yeah.
If all you do is complain, right? You're like that person that it's always somebody else's fault. Right? That person that when they speak about a situation, it always ends up being somebody else's fault. Right? It's always on somebody else. Right? And sooner than later, you're going to be like, so you ain't do nothing? Like, I love it. Oak said, when the students come in my office, I used to say to them or tell them, tell me what you did first. Like, tell me what you did. Like, tell me what you, I want to hear what you did first. Right? No, don't come complain. Like, tell me how you contributed to the situation that you in my office for. Tell me what you did first. Right? And it makes an individual think about the situation totally different.
Yep.
Right? Nah, I'm with you. Don't complain. Contribute, man.
Yeah.
Stop all that talking, man. Andre said, an old lady told me if I ain't got nothing good, say nothing. I swear it don't cost much to listen to me. I tell it how it is, then I tell it how it should be.
Yep.
Don't complain. Contribute, man.
That's it, coach.
So, Oak, man, I got a word for us, man. The land is plain. Vision. Vision.
Oh.
Vision.
I think we all have vision, but there are some people who have the gift of vision.
The gift of vision. Talk about that.
Meaning those people who can see beyond the obvious, who have gone over the mountain and came back to tell the people
mm-hmm.
what's coming, where we going, right?
Yes, indeed.
That's why a lot of times, you know, in the book it says a prophet is never honored in his own home.
Absolutely.
Because he has gone, or she has gone and seen what is on the horizon. And sometimes, and a lot of times, what's on the horizon is going to cause us to have to shift and change.
Mm.
And that's the thing that people don't want to do.
Mm.
Right? So your vision, when you have vision, when you're able to see beyond the obvious, or you're able to see down the road, people are very content with where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, when you tell them this is coming, this is going to come. This is going to come to pass. And if we don't do some things differently now, then when it comes to pass, we're going to perish.
Talk about it.
Right? So I see it in education. Like right now, we're behind the curve in education.
Mm.
With the notion of social media, with the notion of technology, with the notion of, you know, this, you know, teachers will say, adults will say, but this wasn't how we did it when I was growing up, or I wasn't taught this way. And it doesn't matter. I had a long conversation with my aunt yesterday, and we were on the same page. We were just vibing. It's almost like we had church yesterday morning, because principles don't change.
Right.
Right?
Talk
about it. The foundation of your character doesn't change.
Talk about it.
But we build and rebuild houses all the time.
Mm.
So the building and the rebuilding of the house is what I'm talking about in terms of the vision. I know that a storm is coming, so we need to build this house more flat.
Mm.
Right?
Picking it up.
You know what I'm saying?
So
we need to tear down this three-story house that we have and build a ranch-style house.
Gotcha.
Because we're going to be faced with storms over the next 50 years.
Mm.
I ain't tearing down
picking
my
it
house.
Up. Yeah.
What you talking about? I spent years building this house.
Mm.
You don't know what you're talking about, so go on. So Noah went on to build his ark.
Mm. Talk about it.
Because he knew the storm was coming.
Teach, yo.
Right?
Teach.
And so that's why it's important to have visionaries in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also why it's important to honor those visionaries. Although you may not be able to pick up what they're putting down in the moment.
Right on.
Your faith, and you the one know that this person, like if you said it's gold to me, I may not believe it. In fact, it don't matter whether I believe it or not.
Right on.
You said it.
It's law.
Why? Because we've walked together long enough mm-hmm. that I know how God, the universe, the creator works in your life, and I honor your character. Mm. So if you say it, it must be so.
Right on. Right on.
You're not going to consciously lead us wrong. And if we end up on the short side, with the short end of the stick, guess who got the short end of the stick?
Right.
Me and you, no together.
Question. No question. No question.
Together.
Fact. That's a fact.
And as long as we together, we not going to lose.
That's a fact. Pick that up.
Right?
Pick that up.
So in terms of vision and visionaries, that's the way I look at it. Like, if you believe in me and I say this is so,
it's law.
Whether it comes to pass or not, if you believing in me and you and I together, how can we lose?
It's law. It's roll.
Let's roll. Law. You call me, let's say you in Nashville somewhere, and hey, yo, man, they got me circled. They come to get me. I'm going to say, just hold them off till I get there because I'm on the way. And I'm bringing a crew with me.
No
just hold them off till I get there.
No question.
I ain't even ask you what happened, how no you get question. In that situation, whatever.
No
it's
doubt.
The belief in each other. Mm. So vision to me, the visionary has to have folks who believe in the person.
Yeah, man.
You ain't got to believe in the vision because you can't see the vision.
Absolutely.
That wasn't even your role.
Absolutely.
Your role is to believe in the person who has the vision.
Absolutely. And for the person that has the vision, you can't get frustrated when they don't see your vision.
Exactly.
God didn't give them that vision.
Exactly. You've seen it all the time.
God didn't give it to them. God gave it to you. So right. Why are you getting frustrated that they don't see what God gave you?
Exactly.
That's why it's a vision. God gave it to you.
Today.
You feel me?
I had that conversation today with a person. They're like, man, they don't listen to what I'm saying. They don't see it. They can't see it. It ain't their purpose to see it.
I was
purpose.
With a dude. Oh, he said something that was talking about a situation. And he was like, man, these people been fighting me, and I'm trying to accomplish this, and I'm trying to do this for the right reason, I'm trying to do this for these kids. And he said, I had to realize they were just mad because they couldn't see the vision.
Yep.
So they weren't mad at me. They was just mad because they couldn't see what I was trying to accomplish. I was getting mad at them because they couldn't see the vision that God had given me.
Yep.
Oh, man. Vision, man. When I hear vision, oh, I think to myself, the ability to see beyond the present, right? Now, let me go into the infrastructure of that. Vision, the ability to see beyond the present. Pain, opposition, change, hurt, heartbreak, all these things, foreclosure, whatever. The ability to see beyond the present, right? That's what I think when I hear vision. I want to read something to you, man. It's peace, right? And I'm going to culminate it with vision. It says, the most beautiful people we have known are those who have known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, known loss, and have found their way out of the depths. These persons have an appreciation, a sensitivity, and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion, gentleness, and a deep loving concern. Beautiful people do not just happen. Vision. Beautiful people do not just happen. Vision, the ability to see beyond the present. That's our time, man. Peace. Serendipity, man. Tune in.